Morning. Take your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at just one verse of the of the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the sword of your Spirit. And this word that is true, that has withstood the ages, that brings men to salvation, and that teaches us of your glory and majesty. Father, as we look to your word this morning, I pray that you would open it to our hearts and that you would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I was thinking this week about few different ideas, and as we've been doing sword drills in the morning service the last few weeks, I got to thinking, kids, do you know why we call this a sword? Does anybody know why we call it? Yes. Exactly. It says it in Ephesians. Yes. It says it's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Very definitely says it there. But is that the only place in the Bible where the Bible is called a sword? It's not, actually. And so let's look this morning at why we call it a sword and what makes it a sword. You know, typically when we think of the Bible, we think of either memory verses or we think of, you know, this book with fairly light pages. You know, it's not very good to cut something with, is it? I mean, you can't even hardly get a paper cut off of the pages they used to make a Bible, can you? But the Bible calls itself a sword. Now, a sword, we all know it's a great big blade with one or two sharp edges. You can do some real damage with that. So what is it talking about? Excuse me. Well, obviously, it's a metaphor. Now, if you don't know what a metaphor is a word picture to help you understand an idea. So when you say something hurts like everything, well, it doesn't hurt like everything for real, does it? But you're trying to describe, man, you hurt like every kind of pain you've ever felt. You don't actually, but you're trying to say, hey, you know, I got smashed or I got hurt here, right? Or when you say that somebody's as tall as a giraffe. I've never yet seen a person as tall as a giraffe, but if you say that, everybody knows you're talking about somebody that's pretty tall. Those are metaphors. We're using something else to get an idea across. And the Bible, excuse me, uses the metaphor of a sword to describe the power of the Word of God. So here in the most common, there's two verses that we look at the most that describe it as a sword. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, we have the armor of God, the different ways that the Word of God and the Spirit of God function in our life to protect, defend, and strengthen us. And we see here in this verse, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We see it's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and when we understand it as the Word of God, we know that's complete truth, right? It is complete truth. There is no error in this book. It is perfect. It is inalterable. You cannot change it. It is complete. Nobody can add to it. They can try to add to it, but all the things that get added to it, they fall by the wayside. This word that God has put together, spoken, as the Bible says, he breathed it into the writer's ear. So they were listening to the voice of God. And they penned down what he said. And then he kept it through all the ages for you and me to hold and read today. It is truth. It is truth that nothing can come up against for real. You can come up with all kinds of theories, and people can get caught up in their theories, but when you get right down to it, God's Word always wins because it is perfect truth. If you'll turn to John 17 and verse 17, John 17, verse 17, this is what Jesus Himself prayed for all those that believe in Him. That means even though He verbally prayed this prayer 2,000 years ago, He's still praying this for you and me today. John chapter 17 and verse 17, He says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Sanctify them. That's you and me. Through Thy truth. That's the Bible. Because He says here, Thy Word is truth. So here is actually one of the first New Testament mentions of the Word being a sword. You say, well, there's nothing about a sword there. Well, what is sanctify? Sanctify is to remove anything bad from your life. To cut it out, literally. If there's some sin, if there's some bad thoughts, if there's some bad habits, for us to be more like Christ, for us to follow God better, we have to cut those things out of our life. And how do we learn what those things are? Through God's truth. So that the sanctification process makes God's Word a knife or a sword. It shows us, hey, what we're doing right here isn't good. It needs to be cut out of our life. From this idea of the Word of God being a sword, we get another common metaphor today. Who has ever heard somebody say, "The truth hurts"? You heard that? Maybe you've said it to somebody. Well, the truth hurts, doesn't it? Guess what? That's a saying that we get from the Bible. Because thy word is truth. And the truth sometimes has to cut something out of our lives. Sometimes that hurts. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And here's the other most common reference of the word being a sword. Ephesians 6:17 and Hebrews 4:12. And here it's very direct, isn't it? It says the Word of God. That's the Bible and nothing else. It is quick. It is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. How is it sharper than a two-edged sword? Have you ever had somebody try to make you do something under threat? You do this or else. Oh, back when, a few hundred years ago, when a lot of people didn't even have the Bible in English, and they were told, you can't read a Bible or you'll die. You can't believe in Jesus by yourself, or we'll burn you at the stake, or we'll chop your head off, or something like that. And that was a threat, a very real threat on many people. They had to choose whether to obey God and seek God's forgiveness, or to bow to the will of man in the New Testament times. after Jesus had gone back to heaven, and the Jews and then the Romans were persecuting the early church. They were, if you believed in Jesus, you might be stoned. You might be thrown in prison. You might be put in stocks. And as the Romans got involved, you might be fed to the lions. You might become a slave. You might be, again, burned at the stake. But the fact of the matter is, when we stand before the Bible and we realize the truth of God's Word is more powerful than anything that somebody can hold against you, guess what? That makes it sharper than any two-edged sword. Many people were willing to die for Jesus because they realized that it was more important to be in good standing with God, to have our sins eternally forgiven, than to live another day on this earth. Excuse me. Not only that, but a physical sword can't change your heart, can it? Where the Bible gets down to discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God knows what you think. God knows how you think. And doesn't matter how individual you are, every aspect of life God covered in these pages. Doesn't matter what question you have, at whatever point in your life, the answer of God's way is within these pages. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and the disciples and told them, "If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better to enter into the kingdom of heaven maimed or lame than to be whole and cast into hell." He said, "If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out." Well, what was he talking about? Actually doing that? No. He was talking about the work of the truth of God. When we read in the Bible and we see, oh, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Or, you know, that just doesn't fit into the way I do things. Jesus said we're to realize that, hey, that's the sword of the Spirit cutting on something that's not good in our lives. And it needs to be cut out, cut off, plucked out, and thrown away. Because it is not pleasing to God. And He has shown you with His sword to make you more like Him. Now, it's not just a New Testament metaphor. It's also in the Old Testament. Excuse me. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 7. I'm going to get somebody to read this first. Put your Bibles up, kids. Let's do a sword drill here. Hold up your swords. Psalm 7, verses 11 and 12. Say it with me. Psalm 7, 11 and 12. Go. Who has it?
God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will wet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready.
Amen. God is the judge. And if the wicked does not turn from their wicked ways, what does the Bible say? He will do what? Come on, we just read the verse. If the wicked does not turn from his wicked way, it says God will wet what? His sword. Now, the word wet there, if you're reading your Bibles, it's W-H-E-T. Now, if you've ever done any sharpening, You'll know that this doesn't talk about wet as in water. Wet with an H in it, kids, means to sharpen. Means to rub a blade on a stone and make it sharper. So if the wicked does not turn from his wicked way, God sharpens his sword. Well, what is that talking about? Well, God is the judge. And we have just seen in Ephesians 6 and Hebrews 4 that his sword is what? Come on, help me out. What is God's sword? His word. The truth. This book that you have that we just held up in the air. God sharpens his sword. In other words, before the wicked, God holds out his word. God has one standard of judgment. God has one way to come into his kingdom. And he's described it right here. He has one way that shows us what is sin. And he has shown it right here. He has... excuse me. It doesn't matter what age we live in. Whether we live... whether a person lived before the flood, or whether they lived in the time of Jesus, or whether they lived in the medieval times, or whether they lived in the 1800s, where in this phase of the earth we started making machines again, or whether they live today when we've got technology and all this other stuff, God's standard never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we stand before God, when all mankind stands before Him, no matter what day they lived, the sword of truth is the same against each person. And whether we have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the only mercy. Because God's truth is unalterable. Turn, if you will, to Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 16. This is kind of in the middle of the description of Jesus coming again. But this is part of the way he looks, all right? Revelation 1 and verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shining in his strength. Now, as a kid, I always tried to imagine Jesus coming in all of his glory, as it's described here, and there literally a sword sticking out of his mouth. Now, in my boyish mind, I pictured it as, this sounds kind of crazy, but this is how I pictured it, okay? You watch a snake and how it flicks out his tongue, and it's a long, long thin, and if you look at it close, it's actually kind of got edges on it. And so in my mind, I pictured this kind of like that, a sword flicking out of his mouth. And man, that'd be intimidating, wouldn't it? I mean, you read about the Son of Man returning, about Jesus coming back, and it's pretty intimidating. And you add a sword actually flicking in and out of his mouth, and that's, wow. That was my childhood vision of it. But when we look at the Bible, and we see that God calls his word a sharp two-edged sword, doesn't he? And so when Jesus comes again to this earth, and the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, by his word, everyone will know that He is King and that He is God. Fully man, yet fully God. That He is all that He has told the ages through His Word that He is. When He comes, His very Word will cause people to fall, will cause people to bow, will cause the unrepentant sinners to run for their lives. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful. Let's do another quick sword drill. Hold your Bibles up. Isaiah 66 and verse 16. Isaiah 66 and verse 16. Any kids 12 and under can join in it. Say it with me. Isaiah 66, verse 16. Ready? Go. Alright. Listen to that. For by fire and by His sword, God will plead with all flesh. You know what the New Testament says? That God is not willing that any should perish. But there's still only one way to come unto God. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And the Bible tells us that He is the living Word. So God said, by His sword will He plead with all flesh. God wants every single one of mankind, man, woman, and child, to be saved. But He is a righteous judge, and no unclean thing can enter into His presence. So there stands something between a sinful person and a holy God. And that's His sword. That's His judgment. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ is the mercy and the grace of God that washes away our sin. And with that blood, the sword is put aside. If you think back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were put out, and the angels came with a great flaming sword at the entrance of the garden. You couldn't go back in. If you tried, it wouldn't even be worth trying, would it? I mean, you think of a big sword, and that's intimidating enough. Now think of a big sword that's on fire, and it's an angel holding it. You're not going to try to go through, are you? How much more is the Word of God a standing between sin and heaven and the glory of God. But yet Jesus was willing to take that punishment, to take the weight of our sin, that the sword could be laid aside and He could wash away our sin and bring us in to Himself. That sword, again, has been the same through the ages. It says, by His word, He pleads with all men. When God told Noah before the flood, this earth will be destroyed, what did Noah do while they built the ark? One of you kids, what did Noah do while they were building the ark? What was he doing every day? Does one of the kids know? Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Few of the kids knew. He was preaching every day. He was telling them, Look, people, this is what God said. You have to do it God's way, or you'll get washed away by the flood. And they didn't listen, did they? With Sodom and Gomorrah, God's word was there. God's word could have been shared with them by Abraham, by Lot. The New Testament tells us that Lot had a righteous soul. But Sodom and Gomorrah did not listen to the word of God. And he rained down fire and brimstone on them. With Babylon, Babylon decided to stand against God, and Daniel told them who God was. And they said, nah, let's do it our way. And Babylon fell. God's word is always available. But God's word also demands righteous judgment. Now, if you turn also Isaiah 27, I'll read this one here. It's Isaiah 27 and verse 1. We find even in the last day, God's word is the final authority. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Again, we have a metaphor here. Anybody want to tell me who... Leviathan, we know, is a dinosaur that lives in the sea. A great big one we call, probably the one we call Plesiosaurus. Now, does anybody want to guess or know who Leviathan is the metaphor here? Who is it talking about? That crooked serpent. The devil. Satan. That crooked serpent. That piercing serpent, the one who wants to take people away from God. But in that day, it won't be a battle of the wills. It won't be a battle of the powers. God will use His Word to finally vanquish the devil with His sore and great and strong sword. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. And Satan will be no more challenge. He will be no more the deceiver of men. So you see, there's quite a few places in the Bible that calls the Bible the sword of God. And this is why. It has great power with men, with God, and with angels. Now, if you'll turn one last verse, Psalm 49 and verse 2. I want to show you something really special, kids. Psalm 49, verse 2. Isaiah, as he went out and preached, he had a lot of people who didn't want to listen to him, didn't he? So this is partly Isaiah speaking of the power that God gave him, and it's partly a prophecy of the coming of Messiah. And it's also something that we can learn about what God's power does for us, the life of a Christian. Isaiah 49, verse 2. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. If we live by the word of God, if God's word is the guide to your life, and if we share God's word with others, it says that God, He, hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. That sword that goes out of the mouth of Jesus when he comes again can go out of your mouth and my mouth too, as we share the Bible with people around us, whether it be our brothers and sisters, whether it be with our church family, whether it be with the lost, when we speak of the Bible and when we hold it as the standard of our lives, that God can make His sharp sword go out of our mouths and bring Him glory. And put God in the perspective that He ought to be in the eyes of those around us and in our own eyes. When we do that, it can have that work that it's supposed to have of discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart and dividing the soul and spirit, teaching us, and as Jesus said, sanctifying us in the truth. You say, well, I can't talk about the Bible because I don't know it very good. But Jesus said that as we learn it and as we are willing to share it, the Spirit would teach us what to say. The same thing. The Spirit of God and carries His Word. Right? In Ephesians chapter 6. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's His sword. It's not how smart you are. It's how much we let God's Word teach us and be used in our lives. And He will make our tongues use His sword. That's a pretty neat thought, kids. You say, well, I can't tell somebody else about Jesus. I don't know how to explain the Bible to somebody who doesn't know it. But God does. And if you know God, He's already promised He's willing to help you and strengthen you in that. This is the sword. He just gave us the job of carrying it and sharing it with others. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it is a sharp and strong and powerful sword. And thank You, Lord, that it is really Your Spirit that wields it. Thank You that it teaches us to be more like You. And thank You that it brings the sinner to repentance. Please bless Your Word today and bless the remainder of our time together in it. In Jesus' name, amen.